Let's put today's class down in our minds as what we would call a bread and butter class. Something you've got to have as a basic. And something that must be maintained in consciousness daily as a basic throughout the years. This is the kind of class you should never have to go back to except as a reminder. Something that you study, put aside to review until it is you. Until you can say, that is now behind me, I know it. I can live with it. And I can go on from this point. When we talk of masters, we're speaking of those who have mastered the illusion of life. And as long as we are still in the process of meeting error and often succumbing to it, it is not only the error that defeats us, but this inability to rise to a level where error is insignificant becomes a barrier preventing the higher levels of your demonstration as spiritual being. And so let's look at that side of the coin, which is called impersonalizing error. And then let's put it behind us so that we know error, so that we can see error, and we can identify error, and we can go on to live in that which is not error. Now first let's take this word error and call it hypnosis. And let's change the name of this chapter and call it impersonalizing hypnosis, because we learn that that's what error is. That all error, and there is no exception, all error is hypnosis. And in order to make that a very clear fact in our consciousness, let's look at several points which become a law unto us. And the first point is that God is perfect. You can't start with dirty water. If you begin the day that way, you end up trying to figure out all through the day how to make the dirty water clean. And you spend 50 years trying to push error away. Suppose we start with clean water and then never let it get dirty. Suppose we start with truth and never permit ourselves to fall into the lie. Suppose we start with reality and then hold fast when unreality tempts us to accept it, to fight it, to try in some way to subdue it. And so we start where we are, in the secret place of the Most High. For that's the only place you can find the truth you must begin with. The white raiment, the truth, the spiritual selfhood, none of this can be realized with the human mind. And when you start with the human mind, you're beginning your day with dirty water. Because in that human mind is every yesterday that ever occurred in your life. And then you come into a day bringing all of your yesterdays with you in that mind. And the rest of that day is not a God day. You have all of this static of yesterday. And even though you're not conscious of it, it remains there. And so we identify truth to begin with as the perfection of God. We can't start a day any other way. God is perfect. I don't have to do something about it. I don't have anything to improve at the moment. I don't have anything to get rid of. All I have to stand and do is know that God is perfect. And now I let that simmer on the pot for a little while. Just standing in the knowledge that God is perfect is the way you begin with clean water. And God being everywhere, you know that God is perfect everywhere. And now you have the basic principle to begin your day. Perfection is everywhere. Unless you can accept this, there's no place to go. If there still intrudes in your mind the memories of all the things that have been wrong and that you consider to be wrong, you haven't even passed the first grade, which is God is perfect, and God is here, and God is there, and perfection, therefore, is everywhere. You must come to that first step. That puts aside every error you think you know, and every error you thought was in the world. You might call this an emptying out. Or if you like fancy words, you could call it a purifying, a redeeming. It's just standing in the knowledge of God being perfect everywhere. And as this begins to make itself known to you as a truth, you can then accept that perfection, being the nature of God who is everywhere, it is impossible for error to be anywhere. And you have to sit with that a while. There can be no error anywhere. It is impossible because perfection is everywhere. And if you cannot accept that, you must sit until it becomes clear to you that it is the truth. There is no place where God is not. Therefore, the perfection of God, the law of God, the power of God, the presence of God, the life of God is functioning. God is being God. Everywhere. And where God is being God, there can be no error. And there's no place where God isn't being God, and therefore there's no place where error can be. Forgetting all of the images in mind, all of the things you were so certain about, these two principles become the law unto you. God is here and God is there. Perfection is here and perfection is there. How can there be error? There's simply no place for it to be. And then you're ready for that great question. Well, then, why do I see error? And the answer is quite clear. That's the hypnosis. It can't be there. But you see it, therefore where is it? It isn't there, but you see it, where is it? It's in your perception. And therefore, the only place the error exists is in our misperception. We have the source and cause and locality of the error in misperception or hypnosis. When you see something that isn't there, you are hypnotized. When error cannot be there because God is, but you see the error, you are hypnotized. And so we have three basic principles. Because God is there, error cannot be there, but I am seeing the error, therefore I am hypnotized. And the nature of all error, then, is the hypnosis of that individual who sees the error. It can be 5 million people. It can be one. It can be 10. But wherever error appears, you know the one who is seeing the error, or the group, is under hypnosis. Because God is there, perfection is there, error is impossible, and therefore that which we see as error is our hypnosis. It makes no difference what error we see. It is our hypnosis. Because God is being God. And if we want to continue in the hypnosis, then we go to fight that error, which isn't there. Then we try to improve the error that isn't there. We try to correct it. We try to get rid of it. Sometimes we blame God and we say, God is sending error to teach us a lesson. God is punishing us with these errors and for our errors. And then we pin these errors on people. That one is an alcoholic. That one is a drug addict. We are seeing errors, and they're very real to us, because statistics tell us that so many people are alcoholics and so many people are drug addicts. And this is all part of the dirty water we are learning to cast aside. No, there are no drug addicts, and there are no alcoholics. There is no error. That is the hypnosis of the world. There are no isms. That is world hypnosis. And now we begin to sense that that which we are calling a drug addict and an alcoholic is actually a world hypnosis appearing as an individual. Now this is the delicate part of error. This is the delicate part of hypnosis. It isn't one individual's hypnosis. And it isn't one individual's karma. If at times you feel a sort of unrest, can't put your finger on what it is, and even if you say, well, subconsciously something's getting to me, what you're really feeling is world karma, universal karma. It's sort of like this. If, for example, we had a radio in the room and could tune in an AM station, right now we'd have music. Where would it come from? It'd have to be here before we tuned it in order to sound when we tune it in. We're not bringing it here. It's in the room right now. We could tune in on AM 10 or 12 stations, and all of that sound is here now, but you don't hear it. But it's here, or else you couldn't tune it in. You couldn't make it sound here. Similarly, if you were to change to an FM radio, you could get another 10 or 12 stations. And there's 24 stations, all blasting different sound, and all that sound is here, potentially, but beyond the limit of our minds. Now, suppose we had a TV set here. We could tune in 5 or 6 stations. We wouldn't be bringing those pictures from somewhere. They are invisible right here in the atmosphere now, but we do not have the little knob that brings them into visibility. And then suppose we tune into a mountainside which has cable TV. And instead of these 5 stations here, we now have a radius going out about 50 miles, and we get another 10 stations. That too is right here now, but we cannot tune it in. All of this, then, is in the atmosphere. And it isn't even 1% of what is in the atmosphere. And that is what we face. The tide of invisible world thought. And you see, if you're not aware of it, you begin to say, there's a drug addict, there's an alcoholic, and there's this one and that one, but what are they? The infinite way reveals that they are this world karma, this world thought, this world hypnosis. personalizing itself as that person, as that drug addict, as that alcoholic, as each individual on the earth. World thought personalizes as people, and then personalizes as conditions. And we look out at those persons and those conditions, recognizing them not as the personalization of world thought, but rather as forms external to us. But God is there, and God is all. Perfection is there, and therefore imperfection is the only law, is impossible, because perfection is the only law. The error is world thought, which we are accepting, but nothing could change because the perfect law of God is there. And so nothing has changed, although it appears to have changed. Perfection has not changed. And so after you have come to that point of recognizing that every error is world hypnosis, and you don't have to accept it, you are then ready to know that nothing has changed. Nothing whatsoever. The perfect divine image is still there, and nothing can move it away. Nothing can push God out of the way. Nothing has changed. The immaculate self, which is God individualized, is always the only presence. And therefore, you are able to impersonalize that error through the recognition of the truth. And you've traveled far enough then to have seen the nothingness of the condition, to have impersonalized the error, and now you're ready to do something about it. The only thing you can really do to demonstrate that you are in truth is to stand fast in the recognition that nothing has changed. There is nothing for me to do but to know. Nothing has changed. To recognize the error as world hypnosis, and to stand knowing nothing has changed until I am able to attain a silence, because I am now without fear. What do we really want to change? We want to get rid of that appearance, don't we? But that's what it is, an appearance. It isn't there to change. It's in your misperception. And therefore, what do you change? You change from misperception to correct perception. You don't change the person. You don't change the condition. You don't seek external help, because there's nothing externally wrong. The only thing wrong is your misperception of perfection, which you cannot see. You change your belief. That is all there is to it, isn't there? You change your belief. That's the only place there is an error. Now you're on target. I can't help anyone out there. I've got to change my belief that someone out there is not the divine image and likeness. I've got to change my belief, which is accepting world hypnotism. I've got to change my belief that there's another power beside the power of God which can move perfection aside. There isn't any. I've got to change my belief that there's a life out there which isn't the life of God, and is therefore separate and apart from the life of God. All of the error is in me. All of the error is in my belief that that which appears to me is true. The victim may have the same error. And the world may have the same error. But I can't break it out there. I can only break it by changing my belief, nothing else. And therefore I go through the levels of knowing the truth, facing the lie, not being tempted to remove something out there or correct something out there, and finally the peace which permits me to release the belief that it is out there. And when I release that belief that it is out there, I can attain the silence, the secret place, the peace, the inner peace. Now, in that silence, God changes your belief. You can't really change it. All you can do is come to the place where you are able to see the untruth of what appears and dismiss that belief and reach the silence. And in the silence, the truth comes through the Father and changes your belief from that which you had thought to the divine thought, which is, I am there. That is my being you're looking at but cannot see. And so there's 3, 4, or 5 steps. From perfection is everywhere, and therefore error cannot be, though it appears to be, and the source of the error is world hypnotism presenting itself to my mind and will become my individual hypnotism if I accept it. And if I am aware of this, I can watch it knowing nothing has changed in the perfection of God's presence. I can attain a peace, a silence, and let my belief dissolve in the possibility that error could be there. Without keeping one eye open to see if it's going away. Because that's the admission that it's there, and that's the duality. This hypnotism is so subtle that whenever Jesus healed somebody, the church did a somersault and thought, my, look at this miracle worker. But what he was proving, if you stop and think of it a moment, is that there is no error. And going further, you can see what he was really saying is, there is no world out there. I'm not healing the world. I'm showing you the unreality of it. The unreality of the world is the basic hypnotism we face. To impersonalize the error, the hypnotism, you must recognize the nature of that hypnotism, for it presents itself to you as matter, as form, as time, as space, as motion. And all of it denies the ever-present perfection of God. Now you start out with your human faculties to figure it all out, and you find you ultimately fail. The world continually turns back to the faculties that are in the dream. The human brain is in the dream. Human logic is in the dream. Human reason is in the dream. And if you use these dream qualities, you may improve the dream for a moment, but you can never solve it. We have another barrier, and that is being satisfied. You know very well that when things are good, we don't work too hard at this. We sort of let loose, because if things are going good, who wants to do all this work? If the birds are singing and the trees are sprouting their leaves and flowers, and there's a great fragrance and sunshine in the air, Who wants to impersonalize error? Nobody. But that is an error. And this is why. Hypnose, or hypnosis, really means being asleep to reality. And you know that unless you're awake, there can be no truth. How can there be truth when you're sleeping to reality? And how can you be half awake to reality? How can you be half out of hypnosis without exposing yourself to all kinds of laws of cause and effect? The idea of being satisfied builds up our mental inertia. And then we're satisfied with a halfway out of hypnosis sort of life. Until the rude awakening. It doesn't work. And there is no halfway point for that reason. You can't come halfway out of sleep. You've got to come all the way to be awake. You can't come halfway out of matter. You can't come halfway out of unreality. You can't come halfway out of unconsciousness. You're either conscious or unconscious. You're either immortal or mortal. You're either spirit or matter. You're either in a mortal form or you're not in a mortal form. And so, after possibly years of finding some degree of truth, carving out some degree of happiness, some degree of feeling that you're not being pushed by world conditions, and some degree of being so overly satisfied that you pause along the way to compliment yourself on how good you're doing, and how for a while you're going to take a little vacation from truth and just trust things to take care of themselves, we finally come to a place where it's all the way or nothing, and we know it. Either I'm awake or asleep. Either I am the child of God or the creature. I can't be a hybrid in spirit. Now, while I am making up my mind what I'm going to do, world thought isn't waiting for me. There are still 20 radio stations blasting in this invisible silence here. There are still 20 TV stations blasting right here, inaudible, invisible. There are still all kinds of cosmic rays and all kinds of other rays going right through this atmosphere. In other words, there is a world static, and it is on without ceasing. It's there when I go to sleep. It's there when I wake up. It's there while I'm sleeping. It's here while I'm walking. World static, world hypnosis, world karma is a 24-hour-a-day reality in the world of men. And it lives your life unless you do something to let God live your life. So impersonalizing error, praying without ceasing, standing in truth, that error is impossible because only God is here and there. This becomes rudimentary. It's as basic to you as a vocabulary is to a writer or as a brush is to a painter. You've got to know it, and it's got to be on the tip of your mind every minute of the day. There can be no error. And if I in any way am hypnotized into believing that an error is possible and present, I have left the knowledge of truth that God is always present and perfect, and maintaining that perfection in spite of what may appear. No appearance can change the fact that God is omnipotent. And in omnipotence, there is no error. In omnipotence, there is no devil. We know that error, being impossible, still functions in the world mind, even where we are being taught about God. Billy Graham's crusade the other night had a very strange thing to say. To some of you, it's not new. Now, let's take this. We're told that God said, "Thou shalt not kill." Now, here's a statement from the crusade officials all about the earthquakes that are increasing in number. And then it says, God is going to shake the earth with these earthquakes. God is going to shake the earth. Now then, we have the God who said, "Do not kill." But a minister of the church feels that God is changing his mind again. He's going to kill. He's going to shake the earth with earthquakes. And you see, what is happening is world thought is personalizing itself as a minister's words. Now, there are lots of people who are going to take the oath for Christ because of God shaking the earth, you see. I really wish it were funny. But the tragedy of it is that this same scene is enacted all over the world. The error that cannot exist is used to terrorize the congregation. And then, of course, they come under the wing of the church, which will protect them. And they pray to this God not to shake the earth. "Please don't shake the earth. We have 3 children and Harry's been out of work for so long." And I suppose God is supposed to hear that and then not shake the earth. And this perpetuates the belief that there is a power of good and a power of evil. And it also perpetuates the belief that God is also the power of the evil. God sends evil. God says, "Do not kill," and then God kills. The evil that we have in the world today is completely imagination. You never know it until you reach that secret place of the Most High through your daily activity in truth. You can even be fooled into believing it's there. As high as you go, if you are not able to maintain that ceaseless vigil, which is the oneness with God, the knowledge that I and the Father are truly one. Oh, if you're not one, there's a schism as big as the Grand Canyon, and into it comes this fugitive idea. And then someone can get up there and persuade you that God is going to do these terrible things because the world is full of sinners who won't change their ways. And God has to kill them and send cancers and tortures and agonies to them. All of this hogwash is part of the Old Testament. You cannot find in the New Testament one word, one syllable, where Jesus Christ inflicted punishment on a single individual in the entire world. Even in the temple where he went in with this whip of grass, if you read it carefully, you'll see there was no contact made with human flesh. Oh, he scared their daylights out, no doubt about it. There was no physical injury. He accomplished what he started out to. To uphold the sanctity of the Spirit. The onlyness of the Spirit. And now we come to a place where we see that all error occurs in the hypnosis of a physical world. The error occurs because wherever it appears to be, that individual momentarily is living in a false concept of self. And wherever you observe the error, momentarily, you are living in a false concept of yourself. And if you're not on your toes, that false concept of self digs a hole in your psyche, and it's too deep for you to excavate. You cannot come out of it. It makes such an impression that you're struggling and struggling and struggling with this appearance, trying hard to get rid of that which is not there. Aren't there any earthquakes, you say? If this whole building shakes down, there are still no earthquakes. There would have to be matter first. You see how the world illusion is a total thing? And if we're living in the senses, how can we possibly see through the illusion of an earthquake? Or the illusion of blindness? Or the illusion of deafness? Or the illusion of the thousand diseases that are in the medical books. And yet, this has to become our bread and butter. It has to be behind us. So far behind us that we don't have to waste any more time with it. So that our evil world has no place anymore in our consciousness. We come out of the shadow. Now you can see that there's work to be done for you to reach the level where you can stand and face any appearance of evil anywhere in anyone. Where you can watch somebody like John the Baptist, who might have been your best friend, and see his head on a platter and not be concerned about it. Jesus did. He didn't save him. How can we do that? Well, it says, love God supremely. You can't honor thy father. You can't love God with your heart, soul, and mind and then say he's sending an earthquake to kill several thousand people. That's not loving God. That's atheism under the guise of religion. And every error that we see and accept is atheism. What is it saying? It's saying, I don't believe in God, isn't it? I don't believe in God. I believe in this error. Don't tell me God is all power. Look at this error. And then you're saying, well, if God knows everything, he must know about this error, and he's not doing anything about it. All prayer is based on the belief that the error is real. And that is based upon the belief that God isn't doing something about the error. That God is, if he's omnipotent, he's certainly not interested. But mostly it's based on the belief that God is impotent, not omnipotent. It's based on the belief that God can't do anything. That's why we have the errors. Now, when we don't believe in God, we believe God can't do anything about the error, or God doesn't know about the error, God isn't all-knowing, God isn't all-present, God isn't all-power. We believe that God is an imperfect God. And we don't have a God, do we? But God is your individual selfhood, and the individual selfhood of the individual where you are seeing the error. Finally, we're back to our one self. One perfect self everywhere. One perfect life everywhere. And we're standing four square on principles. God is omnipotent. Therefore, there can be no other power other than that omnipotent power. Even world karma is no power. There is no power but the perfect power of God. There is no power in anything. All power is in God. Therefore, nothing can change the power of God. Therefore, what appears cannot be real. Therefore, there's nothing to change the power of God or to influence the power of God. Finally, you're standing on the omnipotence of God, trusting it, and not misperceiving, not trusting your misperceiving senses. You overcome sense misperception by standing on the omnipotence of God. The knowing of God. Certainly God knows everything going on in God's kingdom. If God isn't running out there to change that appearance, it's because it isn't there. What is there? The Son of God is there. Everywhere is the Son of God. Now we have it all in our mind, but that's not the Christ mind. We must begin to accept perfection invisible everywhere, and you can only do it with your Christ mind. And you can only have the Christ mind when you begin to accept perfection invisible everywhere. So you've got a paradox. I need the Christ mind to accept invisible perfection, and only by accepting invisible perfection do I develop the awareness of the Christ mind. And that's where you have to live. Ready, willing, able to be tested by any incident, any appearance, however close it may come. Knowing that as I accept perfection everywhere, I will become more and more aware of the Christ mind, and then the Christ mind will finally reveal that invisible perfection which I am accepting. One word begins to become very prominent now. We know that the mind alone is only a beginning. We're going to have to come above it. We know that logic and reason and memory and all of these things are human faculties. We have to come to the invisibility of life. We have to come to the acceptance that I am an invisible being, just as God is. God is invisible. I and the Father are one. I am invisible. God doesn't live by his wristwatch in time. I do not live by my wristwatch in time. God is incorporeal. I and the Father are one. I am incorporeal. God is immortal. I and the Father are one. I am immortal. Whatever God is, because I and the Father are one, I am. Therefore, my incorporeality becomes the place where I learn to dwell in my meditations, in my consciousness, in my developing awareness of the Christ mind. I accept the incorporeal I. I am incorporeal. So is everyone I know. There is no corporeality because all are one with the Father who is incorporeal. And now we have incorporeal people on this earth. We have incorporeal mothers, incorporeal fathers, brothers, and sisters. When we see them corporeally, we are in error. There is no corporeality in God. There is no oneness in God. We are not impersonalizing the error. The error wasn't the condition which we saw. The error was corporeality. And automatically the condition in corporeality followed. The error was corporeality, and then we had good corporeality and bad corporeality. Neither are true. There are not two powers. There is no power to make corporeality. The hypnotism is the belief in a physical, external, corporeal, material world. The belief in a finitude of anything. We're re-identifying to accept the incorporeal universe peopled by the incorporeal children of God. The incorporeal forms of light. The incorporeal individualization of divine consciousness is my child, my mother, my father, my parent, my sister and brother, my enemy. All of these names disappear. We leave them for my sake, for my incorporeal reality. We see them in my name. We impersonalize the error. We nothingize the condition in corporeality by first impersonalizing corporeality. All imperfection is impossible in an incorporeal universe. There is no error in it. There is no evil. There is no death. There is no murder. There is no sickness. Even to recognize suffering as reality is an error. Who is suffering? You've got a suffering appearance. And don't think you're being heartless. It says, love the Lord, honor thy father. That's your father over there. It's not what you thought it was. It's the Spirit of God. Is it suffering? No. All the suffering is part of the illusion. Your heart is bleeding because that someone is suffering. You're wrong. You don't believe in God. That's where the suffering is, in your misperception of the perfection that is there. Oh, it sounds heartless, of course. But when you are able to reach that place where it isn't heartless, where it's a blessing, it's just like being grateful for the surgeon who can be heartless enough to operate without trembling all over. That's his blessing. If he can be heartless enough not to tremble, he's going to do some good, isn't he? If we can be heartless enough not to see the suffering that could not be there because God didn't place it there or permit it there, we will find that peace. And that peace is the blessing. That peace is going to break the illusion of suffering. You see how everything comes back to your consciousness of truth. Oftentimes we really want to help people, but we really just can't see them suffer. That's what hurts the most. It isn't so much wanting to help them as to prevent their suffering. And that's the greatest delusion of all. That's what deepens your fear. That's what makes you turn away from God and say, God isn't there at all. The love of God is gone. The power of God is vanished. That's part of the world hypnosis. The suffering is in the world hypnosis, which we accept on a local level. Every time you believe God is letting someone suffer, it is just that you are not knowing God aright. These are some of the things we have to impersonalize and nothingize. We have to be alert to the traps. And there are traps everywhere you turn, mostly because of the prime illusion of corporeality. I said there were two sides to this coin, and later we're going to look at incorporeality a little different than we have. You must begin to live in your incorporeal self. Experience it. Accept it. Demand of yourself that you live in it. Move free of corporeality in your consciousness. You'll find all that we've done so far is automatic, without taking thought, when you are more conscious of your incorporeal self and of the incorporeal universe. You don't have to go through all of this. All of this leads you to that effortlessness until it's like a racing driver. When he's doing 200 miles an hour on a hairpin turn, he's not going through any 1, 2, 3, 4, what'll I do next? All of his years of experience are coming to that moment. And in that moment, years and years and years of practice is making it possible for his reflexes to do exactly what is required without thought. So with you, it may take months to press down on this mind that rebels. It may take more months to be able to look out and be true to God instead of to your sense misperceptions. But all of the time you spend will finally reach the place where, in 20 seconds, years and years of activity, all like that. No effort on your part. It becomes an automatic thing. Remember, the racing driver is doing that, but if he lays off for 6 months or 2 weeks, he's got to do it all over again. So with us. You may reach that point where you're alert to truth. Don't get satisfied. It's a mistake. This is pinpoint timing. And the only way you can stand there is through making it a way of life. It was the way of life with Jesus Christ and his disciples. The knowing that all that I see is always God be, no matter how it appears to human eyes. And then if the tide is too high, or the wind is too brisk, or the street is too wet, no matter what may appear, imperfection is not possible. Error is not possible. No matter what has happened, error is not possible. Because God is maintaining a perfect universe. And though there's nothing to correct except your belief that there was an error. And lo and behold, you will discover that error never did happen. It was only real to the 5 cents corporeal you. It never could happen. Only God can happen. And that must become our daily consciousness. Then we are ready to live incorporeally, spiritually, as the light, the reality, the sun, the child, the divine being. Let's go to our secret place, because words are not needed there. We do not even go there. We become aware that we are there. And now we don't try to make something happen, we abide there. We merely abide in God. There's no hurry. God is willing to do the work. Rest there. There's nothing for us to do but to be there, to keep our attention there. Here God is. Right here, God is being God. There's nothing to seek, to ask for, to need, or to want. God is being God, right where you are. God is being your life where you are. God is your incorporeal self. God is your invisible name. That's who you are. Where you stand is holy ground. Can error occur there? Can evil occur there? No, it can only be misperception. It cannot change the reality that God is your incorporeal self. To face any misperceived evil with the knowledge that it has no power, no presence, no substance, no law, no reality, it simply is hypnosis, is to unveil and unmask the errors of the world as they come to you. Just by being what you are, nothing can change that. The omnipotence of God ever sustains itself without opposite. Your spiritual being is all there is of you, and it is never in a state of evil or error. It is never lacking. Even though lack may appear, even though limitation may appear, they are misperceptions. Simply a human incapacity to realize the fullness of your own being. But the fullness of your own being doesn't go anywhere. It is always present. It is always abundant. It is always energetic. It is always vigorous. It is always in perfect health. Always the lie is simply faced and recognized and identified. And that's all there is to it. The truth of being doesn't change. Blindness is a lie. Because your being is vision. Deafness is a lie. It's hypnosis. Your being is hearing. You simply are not accepting your being. You're accepting the misperception. You go down the list. Whenever it comes to your attention that you're something other than the perfect self, it's a lie. There simply is nothing other than the perfect self. And in the knowledge of truth, the light will shine through to dissolve the lie. To the measure of your awareness of that truth. This whole world becomes your initiation. And you have the priceless privilege of being the living child of God in spite of every appearance. If you will, not try to come halfway or three-quarters of the way out of the sleep of mortality. Nothing can change the truth of God's presence where you are. Do not let the hypnotized human mind tempt you out of that truth. That's all there is to the freedom of being hid in Christ. Now let's pause and then we'll come back with some more things related to this impersonalization of error.